and I'm going to go over a recap of what we've done the last couple of weeks, just to be clear that this is the middle of a four-week series. We're smack dab in the middle. So if you have a chance, you can go to the website Church Center. You can go to cityharborchurch.com. You can go to all these different places and find podcasts of the first two. If you're a little confused today, but I think as a standalone, it should work. So we're speaking about forgiveness. We're speaking about the concepts of forgiveness. And before I start with prayer, I'm going to do a recap. Okay, so week one, when I spoke, the idea was, what have we been forgiven of? In other words, what is sin? What is this thing that we've been forgiven of? And what is then God's forgiveness? What does it mean for God to have forgiven us? Week two was Joe spoke and did a wonderful job of talking and put gifts and all of this thing. There are no gifts on any of my slides. I didn't have that kind of time this week. But it was all about considering how God is forgiving you. So understanding, okay, if this is what sin is and this is what forgiveness is, then what does it mean that God's forgiving me of this? And then understanding that what we were asking, right, from the parable that he spoke, if we've been forgiven from something so great, then how do we, or what do we do when we're asked to forgive others? So asking the Holy Spirit to help us with this forgiveness, right? So I'm going to take this and just turn it a little bit. And so week one, to make this personal, was who was I prior to Jesus? And I've run into this question a lot of times, and I've gotten stuck because I'm like, you know what? Jesus has been a part of my life for such a long time, and I remember that. So when I go through the second question, who could I have been without Jesus? Because I think sometimes we think so much about, like, oh yeah, you know, this is what it looked like. And you know what? I don't know. I'm just living my life without a life. But who could you have been without Jesus? If you need to know who I could have been without Jesus, I think I've shared this before. I'm very full of myself. I would have been fuller of myself, right? I probably would have been an angry human being. I can guarantee that. Like, I would have had a lot of righteous indignation that would have been taken too far. I think also without Jesus, like, I would not, and I mean this in the best way, without Jesus, I really wouldn't care as much. And I mean that, like, wholeheartedly, because I've gotten to the points in my life where I thought about, like, who am I? Like, what am I doing here? And it goes back to, like, what is God asking me to do? Right? Because there are a lot of times in my life I just feel, you know what, I'm going to shut everyone out. Because I can do that. You may not know this about me, but, like, COVID, in some ways, for me, was really easy, because I was like, just have my own time. And I don't always come across that way, but it really is, like, I think that's me without Jesus, is just being like, you know what, I'm going to shut those doors, I'm going to sit, play a video game, and not care about the world. And so those questions really help us understand, like, what then is sin, right? And what was God's forgiveness of that sin? And the second part, what Joe was talking about, is making it personal. Who is God allowing me to be? By understanding forgiveness, by understanding exactly what he has forgiven us of, understanding the magnitude of what that is, what kind of freedom does that give us? What kind of joy do we get to experience? What kind of just straightforward peace can we get out of that? And then who do I need to forgive? And so this was something I didn't foresee, but Ezra's bike and helmet were in our back, the back of our car last night. Oh, we can ride the bike to the playground. So I left it in there and I left it unlocked. So as you can foresee, right, his bike and helmet were taken out of my car last night. So who might need to forgive whoever took that bike today for me? So understanding this is real, right? Every single moment of this is real, it's fresh, it's raw. For some of us, maybe more real in the moment. For others of us, maybe more real longer term, right? For some of us, we maybe have something taken from us that can't easily be replaced. Because let's be honest, I have an income, Abby has an income, we can get a bike, and everything's going to be okay, right? But there are other people or situations for that now. That may not be the case. So understanding that today is about fire, right? We're talking about why is forgiveness the first thing Jesus does. And so that's what we're talking about. Let's pray and get to the Word. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for leading this. Thank you for getting me through this week. Thank you for the people that have come into this space. ready to learn, ready to listen to your word, ready to understand what it is that you have to say to them. We pray right now for them. Rebecca is there enjoying their time in Messina. And we just thank you for this church, this family of believers, these people that we can have come around us. And we thank you for Baltimore and all the good things of God and all the great things and the fact that you have us placed in this city to love and live. In your name we pray. Amen. You're allowed to say amen.
Amen.
I'm just saying you're allowed to. You don't have to, but it doesn't mean I agree, right? So, and believe me, remember, I taught for a long time, so I'm also used to no one saying I taught math to for a long time. We still not many people interact with. Let's read this. This is Mark 2, 1 through 12, if you want to read it up or not, but I'm going to have everything up here. The way I'm going to do this is a little different. It's not terribly exciting, but we're going to do section by section by section. We're going to take what the Word has to say, and we're going to take Chris's interpretation of the Word. I'm not Eugene Peterson. I did not spend a ton of time. I spent a week interpreting it. So please, 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 if I got it wrong, you can come after me and be like, Chris, you got it wrong. But I do believe that I have something to share to you today. Right? When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors there is no more room even outside the door. Does anyone know what the story is? And you don't have to tell me what it is, but you can nod if you know what's coming, right? So, Jesus is coming home. This is not his hometown. He's already been kicked out of his hometown, just to be clear, right? Jesus got kicked out of his hometown. But this is where he's living. This is his home base at this time. And where he's staying, it says he's staying with someone, right? So he's staying, I want you to put yourself in the owner of this home. He's staying in another person's home, who probably is like, this guy is the same, this guy's inside, right? And is invited him to stay here, and then you're talking about this place being packed like sardines. So people are coming to just see him, to talk to him, be healed by him. They want to see who this Jesus is. And since he's back, they all fall off this place. It was packed. This is the word again, not my interpretation, to keep clear. When he was preaching God's words, then four men arrived carrying paralyzed men on a mat. You should know what the story is now. If you don't worry, stick with me. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered, it sounds ridiculous. When you say it slowly, it sounds ridiculous. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. So unpack it a little bit. Four guys show up. They got paralyzed out on a mat. So it's five people total. It's too crowded. So they walk up. They can't get in. So they somehow get up to the roof. Again, I don't know anything about architecture at this time or anything like that. But I'm pretty sure cutting a hole in the roof was number one, not an easy task. Number two, frowned upon. Right? Like, this is something we should do. And they lowered the guy down. Now, this says a lot about these people. Now, if you are like the people we're going to talk about in a second, we can start making assumptions. If you stop reading scripture right here, you can start assuming some things about these people. Who are they? Who are they? They could literally be a lot of different people at this point if you stop reading. These could be people that are trying to test Jesus. They could. They could be people being like, you know what? I don't know who this guy is. He says, and they're messing around. These could be people who are just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I don't know what it is. But they could be people that really had bad intentions, right? They had something rotten in their heart. They wanted to have a gotcha moment. Maybe it was Jesus. They could be. Why was he paralyzed? You could start thinking about the guy. What did he do to deserve it, right? But the truth is, we don't actually know those answers. There's no part of the Bible that says, here are their names, right? We have no names. But what we do know is those assumptions that I just made aren't probably not true. Because we do know why they were there. And this is the important part of this. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. And that tells you why they were there. Right? If Jesus is saying, I see your faith, and you believe that Jesus is either number one, a really good judge of character, or number two, God, right? Seeing their faith, Jesus says, now you know why they're with it. They came out of faith that Jesus was going to do something in their lives to this man, right, that was going to be miraculous. Now, it doesn't clarify if they're hoping for healing or if they're hoping for forgiveness. It doesn't. But you still know that their faith is so great. And if you keep reading, we see the other body here. Some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Why were they there? So here's the other part of this, right? This place is packed to a brim. Yet it says that they were sitting there. So that makes you think what? They had front seats, right? These teachers of the religious law, they were up close and personal. They were the first in that door, or they had enough stature to be, you know, four seats for any of my NBA fans. I don't know. But they're on the floor, right? So they are right there. And you know, Jesus forgave the sins of this paralyzed man, and the first thing they do, they did not say anything. They start thinking to themselves, he's playing God. He wasn't super shy about this. Let's be very clear. So they, why were they there? Right? Why were they there? They were there for the action. They were there to make sense. They were looking for some reason to deny who Jesus was. So we have two separate people. We got people desperate, cutting a hole in the roof, dropping people in to just help their friend. Again, I'm assuming they're friends. I don't know that, but it makes sense in the situation, right? Then we have other people, front row person, right? They are right there in Jesus' face. They're there for a different reason. And Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? Because he knows they're going slowly through. I am really big. Jesus is a mind reader or really good judge of character. I don't think that's the point of this story, but this is what he's thinking. Why judge this? He's asking them, why did you guys come? Why are you judging this moment? Is it easier to forgive sins or heal paralysis? Let's say that right. Thanks. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus said to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go. And this is a side note. This is really cool. He doesn't lay hands and say, you are healed. This is a show. Like, this is definitely Jesus the show, man, just a little bit. He's like, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Because what he was saying was, the big thing is done. I'm God. I have this authority. Let me prove it. Get up and walk. But to be clear, that wasn't Jesus' priority. We're going to get that to a second. He was saying, like, you need to see that I have authority to forgive sins. Okay, here you go. Get up and walk. Stop questioning me. But we're still going to talk about this priority. The man jumps up, grabs his mat, walked out from the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed, and they started praising God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. People were pumped. I also, you know, I don't know if these teachers were involved with the onlookers. Were they praising God in this moment? And we don't know what was in their hearts in that moment either, right? Were they praising God because everyone else was praising God, and in their hearts you know, we never know what's in someone's heart. Jesus does, right? And we're going to get to that with forgiveness as well. The man was healed. They just saw something absolutely miraculous. And for those of them that came to see that miracle, they were rewarded. But for those of them that really were starting to understand what Jesus was saying, they were probably rewarded further down the road, even more so. Let me explain that. They're amazed, they're crazy. Now, how many of you guys have seen this situation, right? People are pumped, they're excited, the next day everything changes. They knew Jesus was different, they got that. They're like, oh yeah, I saw that. They're probably telling their friends, this is what I saw. But like, that doesn't, if we receive healing, it doesn't change our heart. It's good, right? It's a beautiful testament to who Jesus is, Lord of all. That man went back, right? And he's sharing his story with other people. He's telling, that's I think the next part of the scripture, right? There is a point of this that's important if you read each of the gospels to see, yes, that man has a testimony. Some of the other people were there, they were there. They have a testimony as well. But Jesus was not focused on the healing in this miracle. Why did Jesus see forgiveness as more important than making a man walk? There are a lot of people in this room going through current health events, right? A lot of people going through this question. Wouldn't our hearts just respond, can't you just heal me? Forgiveness is easy. Just heal me. My life will be better. And so God still, you know, Jesus still healed the man. Let me be very clear. But what he's saying is there's a priority here. There's something that comes first. There's something that comes above all. There's something that comes that is more important than any issue you are facing, and that is forgiveness. Knowing that forgiving his sins will clean his heart, bring him peace, bring him joy, restore his relationship with God, restore his relationship with others. He knew that was the priority, the single most important issue that that man was facing. And we don't know what kind of things he's holding in his heart, right? We don't know what we need to be forgiven of. We don't need to know. Jesus was the one telling us what the priority is. We don't need to know what this man's life is. It helps for us to look at our own hearts and understand what we need to be forgiven of. But the key that Jesus is saying in this story is there is a priority. And obviously, when you prepare for a message, you always look up stuff and you start reading, you look for all these different things, and I found this old German bishop. I should say this correctly. 1910, right? My brother would be disappointed by that pronunciation. Not as far. He desired to teach us by this that he came to cure and save souls, that the soul is worth more than the body, and that the health of the body can only avail those whose soul is healthy. If the soul is not right, then what is the body? If you believe in something eternal, right, then we're talking about, well, which one of those two is eternal? Is it the body or is it the soul? And if that's the case, and what we say is Jesus came to save our souls, do we still want to express that on this earth? Yes. Did he still heal that man? Yes. He had the authority to do so. We've seen healings. We've seen it. We've not seen it. But the key is, has the forgiveness still come? Always. That's done. Because that was the prior. That's number one. Everything else comes after. And so this brings us to the end. I didn't have a lot to share with you today. It's a short story. But I am going to say, what do we learn? And if you didn't catch this, this was the key point right here. God's priorities can be different than ours. Right? Whatever we're going through in this moment, it could be that God's priorities is different. Now, I'm not going to say God's priority isn't stated. It's already stated. Jesus said, right? Like, forgiveness is the priority. I came to forgive you of your sins. Like, that, the whole purpose is for your soul. Now, let me be very clear. If that feels, my bike, it's Ezra's bike, it makes it worse, right? Being taken out of my trunk overnight, my trunk left open, is much easier to deal with. Did I still get frustrated? Oh yeah, I got frustrated myself. Let's be really frank. I was like, why did I leave it open? I know this is the case. I got frustrated at someone who would think to take a child's bike and come and another thing. I go through all these processes, but understand that with the idea that forgiveness is already on the forefront of my mind, with the idea that I know I have already done things that I deserve, did not deserve to be forgiven for, it makes it a lot easier to go through life. It makes it a lot easier to forgive others if you understand what you were forgiven for, right? And that's why Jethro and Rebecca said that those things were important before this point. We don't start talking about God's priority until we understand everything that was said before that. Because the condition of our relationship with God in our heart is the most important thing to Him and really the most important thing on His earth. God forgives us. He helps us in practical ways. So that brings us to what are some of those practical ways we can do. And I'm going to give just a few minutes for you to take time. And I don't want this to be taken away from reading and saying hi to other people. But do take some time, either today after church or today later in the day, whenever you have a moment to yourself, parents. I know you'll find one, I believe in you. Consider God's forgiveness for your sins. Just take a second. And understand, if you were paralyzed on that mat, and you had good enough friends to lower you down through a hole with whatever consequences that come with that, and Jesus forgave you of your sins, and you're paralyzed, what is it that is more important than you being able to walk in that moment? What is it that you don't deserve to be forgiven? Something so great that those words of being forgiven are miraculous. Because I do believe there's something. And I do believe it could be something that you have done or something you could have done. Right? Because if Jesus has changed us, He saved us eternally. So we're talking about ourselves, not just like what we actually did. We're also talking about, man, how much hurt could we have caused without understanding who Jesus was in our lives? Don't belittle it. And then finally, ask the Holy Spirit, or sorry, I didn't say the second one. Consider your priorities may not line up with God. I mean, I think sometimes that's the hardest one. And it's as simple as, God, just show me your path, not mine. Right? It's the Proverbs 3:5, right? Like, I want to lean into you. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. Right? I want to trust in your path for me. And finally, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the right perspective and help you align your priorities with God. Those are three things that hopefully you can take away from this. Hopefully you enjoy going through the scripture with me today. But let's end on a quick song, then I'm going to pray and dismiss, and the kids may be upset because it's a little early, but it'll be okay. Well, Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. God, we thank you for the fact that you are forgiving. We thank you for the fact that you have forgiven. We thank you for the fact that you understand our hearts, you understand the depths of our hearts, and you know what's important. You know what really matters. And in our human bodies, in our broken selves, in our broken world, you know what matters. And we thank you for that. We thank you that that authority, that burden, is not placed on us. That we don't have to decide who's more important or what's more important. We thank you for that release of responsibility that you have already said, look, the most important thing is that your soul is healed. Because with that, everything else gets better. Your perspective changes, your life gets clearer. Your joy becomes more, your peace becomes more frequent. We thank you for that. We ask by the Holy Spirit for you to guide us in ways that we are unforgiving. We ask you to help us process through those moments where we have been sinned against and find the right moment to forgive. Not to judge, not to come up with a gotcha moment. And God, I pray for that as well, that we are not like the teachers of the law. I pray right now specifically for us. that we are not looking for a moment where you're going to fail. We are not looking for a moment where you're going to slip. We are not looking and seeking for you not aligning to our power. God, I pray that our hearts are not that hard, not that messed up. Instead, I pray that you give us hearts that are seeking whatever you have to offer us, that are looking just to be near you, just to be close to you, just to be a part of what you have to offer this world. And finally, Holy Spirit, I just pray that for whoever may not be in this room, but is going to be affected by everyone in this room, we pray that your forgiveness is seen through us. That it is something that is so radical, so transformational, so ridiculous, that we can't even deny you. We can't even say, yeah, no problem, not a big deal. But instead, we have to say, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, this may sound crazy, but my life has changed. So what you just did to me, you're forgiven. It's not my authority. I've done things that I needed forgiveness of. So this is my opportunity. Because the important thing is your soul. The important thing is that you understand you're free of this gift. We pray for this all in your name. We pray for this as a church, as a body of believers. And we pray also that you help guide us in scripture, guide us in prayer to where your priorities lie in our personal lives in this moment. And we pray this in your name and we say it all together. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to me speak. You are dismissed.